live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, November 9th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks fall as concerns grow about a slowdown in China.
Oil heads for its longest stretch of declines on record.
Bonds in Italy slump ahead of a key deadline.
And shares of Disney gain as sales and profit beat estimates.
Days after the election, some Senate races could go to a recount. Plus, former New Jersey Governor Christie is said to be on the short list for Attorney General. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, the Islanders and Lightning played a first-place battle while the Steelers broke the half-century mark at the Panthers' expense.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Global stocks are falling amid growing concerns about a slowdown in China. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are down 17 points. Dow futures down 140. NASDAQ futures down 60. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. CAC in Paris down 0.9%. FTSE 100 down 0.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropped 2.4%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 3.20%. Yield on the 2-year 2.94%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.6% or 99 cents to $59.69 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5.10 to $12.20 an ounce. The euro $1.1345 and the yen 113.82. John.
And Karen, we begin in Asia. This is where stocks tumbled as concerns grow about a slowdown in China. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more in this report from Singapore.
Good morning, John and Karen. The CSI 300 closed down almost 1.5% in China as investors took a dim view of the government's unprecedented move to tell firms exactly how much they must lend to the country's struggling private sector. Softer Chinese producer price gains, weak car sales, and a disappointing outlook from a top online travel company rounded out the bad news. In Hong Kong, the Hang Seng dropped more than 2% intraday as energy and consumer stocks took a beating. A stronger yen saw the Nikkei 225 close down by 1% in Tokyo to 22,250 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Oil set for its longest stretch of declines on record after entering a bear market yesterday. The move comes as OPEC and its allies meet in Abu Dhabi Sunday to consider moderating output.
It's quite likely that they will at least start talking about it at this weekend meeting. The decision, of course, will need to be taken when the full quorum of ministers meet in December.
Vandana Hari, founder of Vanda Insight, says Saudi Arabia and Russia may agree to cut oil output beginning in January. Checking prices now. Again, NYMEX crude oil is down more than 1.5% at $59.71 a barrel. Brent is at $69.68.
And bonds in Italy are falling once again as the country's budget standoff with the EU nears a key deadline. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello reports from Rome.
Italy needs to resubmit its budget plan to the European Union by Tuesday of next week, but the government in Rome says it isn't about to budge on its expansive deficit target. The Italian coalition responded just hours after the EU said the country would miss both its deficit and economic growth targets next year. In Rome, Kevin Costello, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Kevin, thank you. The UK's impending exit from the EU looming large for Bank of America. CEO Brian Moynihan says the bank has spent $400 million making preparations for a hard Brexit.
$300 or $400 million in this thing, and we don't even know exactly what the rules are going to be. And so he multiplied times all the people, and we're moving people around, we're disrupting real people's lives. This is not good for Europe in the near term in terms of just disruption.
In an interview with Bloomberg, CEO Brian Moynihan says with scenarios like Brexit, you have to plan for the worst.
And here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve remains likely to hike rates in December. Al Broaddus is the former president of the Richmond Fed.
I would expect the Fed's projection of continued gradual increases in the target funds rate to stay on track. You know, we got both upside risk and downside risk in the outlook. And that's what the Fed is going to try to be following and picking up any change in the outlook that might result from that.
In its statement yesterday, the Federal Reserve repeated its outlook for further gradual interest rate increases despite recent market volatility.
Turning to corporate news, shares of UBS are down 3% in Zurich. The Swiss bank's been hit with a long-expected fraud lawsuit by the U.S., accusing it of fueling the 2008 financial crisis by deceiving investors who bought mortgage-backed securities.
At the same time, UBS is coming under pressure from authorities in France. Prosecutors there are asking the bank for $6 billion in damages over allegations it helped clients hide money from authorities.
Allianz is out with profit that beat estimates. The German insurer that owns PIMCO reporting a surge in assets under management in the second quarter. Bloomberg's Danny Berger has details.
They saw inflows, 23 billion euros, which is pretty remarkable given the difficult year it's been for money managers. So a lot of investor confidence here because it really shows that they're able to weather this global sell-off, really any global sell-off.
PIMCO, meanwhile, pulled in more than $11 billion in the third quarter.
Well, Disney's reporting quarterly sales and profit that topped estimates. CFRA media analyst Tuna Mobi says the gains were fueled by the company's movies and theme parks.
Broad-based gains across the major businesses, you know, theme parks, studio division, which significantly outperformed our expectations, and also all of the media networks, especially the broadcasting.
The results have shares of Disney up 2% in early trading.
At the same time, CEO Bob Iger is laying out his vision for Disney's big bet on streaming. The plans include a new service called Disney Plus, which will feature family entertainment. Meanwhile, Iger will pack the Hulu streaming service with content from the soon-to-be-acquired Fox TV studio.
This is largely going to be driven by the combined entity having the ability to operate even more successfully going forward. And when you think about all the transformation that's going on in the media landscape, having these kind of assets, this kind of scale, these brands and the people is vital to the success of this company and its ability to grow long term.
Disney gains control of Hulu with its purchase of Fox, and Iger says he's interested in acquiring the rest of Hulu if co-owners Comcast and AT&T want to sell. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Florida could face recounts in several races, including the Senate race between Republican Rick Scott and Democrat Bill Nelson. Scott now only leads Nelson by 0.2%. Scott filed a lawsuit alleging fraud against two counties, Broward and Palm Beach.
Every day since the election, the left-wing activists in Broward County have been coming up with more and more ballots out of nowhere. We all know what is going on. Every person in Florida knows exactly what is happening. Their goal is to keep mysteriously finding more votes till the election turns out the way they want.
In Arizona, Democrat Kyrsten Sinema has a slim lead over Republican Martha McSally in that Senate race, and it could be another week before all the ballots are counted. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is among those being considered to replace Jeff Sessions as the nation's top law enforcement officer. Sessions was forced to resign on Wednesday. President Trump appointed Sessions' chief of staff, Matthew Whitaker, as the acting attorney general. President Trump is set to follow through today on new rules to prohibit people who illegally cross the U.S.-Mexico border from claiming asylum. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The U.S. asylum system is overwhelmed with too many meritless claims, according to the Departments of Justice and Homeland Security, which characterize those crossing the border as, quote, aliens who place a tremendous burden on our resources. That, argues the Trump administration, prevents the expeditious granting of asylum to those who truly deserve it. The new restrictions on asylum claims won't take effect until the president issues a proclamation limiting or suspending entry into the U.S. from Mexico, and an official told reporters that is planned in the coming day. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
California Governor-elect Gavin Newsom says the nation has normalized mass shootings like the one this week in Thousand Oaks that left 12 victims dead.
You can't go to a bar, a nightclub, can't go to church, synagogue. I mean, it's insane.
Meanwhile, a vigil was held last night at the Borderline Bar and Grill to remember those shot by 28-year-old Ian Long. Australian police say they believe an attack by a knife-wielding man in Melbourne is linked to terrorism. One of the victims that was stabbed died. The suspect also died later at a hospital when he was shot by police. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 of Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, John. The Islanders skated into Tampa Bay atop the Metro, but were no match for the game's best.
He's not in the shift, obviously. Kucherov across, they score! Tyler Johnson deflects it in off the Kucherov pass. They click for the lead goal.
Fox Sun Sports on the call. Lightning doubled up the Islanders 4-2. Tampa Bay is 12-3 on the season. Goaltender Andrei Vasilevskiy with 35 saves. Isles are still atop the Metro by a point. In the NBA, it's not often the Warriors get routed, especially at home. Milwaukee beat Golden State 134-111. Steph Curry checked out with a leg injury. The Blazers, Celtics, and Thunder all winners. NFL Week 10 from Pittsburgh, Steelers routed the Panthers on both sides of the ball.
Shotgun, Roethlisberger looks, Roethlisberger pulls the trigger on a long ball, caught by Brown, and he's gone! Touchdown! A rainbow from Roethlisberger to the right side. 53 yards for the score.
52-21 the final on Westwood One. Quarterback Ben Roethlisberger with statistically the best game of his near 15-year career. 22 for 25 with 5 touchdowns. Panthers quarterback Cam Newton was picked 6th. One NFL note for the Steelers, whether you love him or hate him, you have to respect him. Running back Le'Veon Bell's expected to end his 10-week holdout just in time so he can qualify for a year's worth of service and report next week. College football, 14th-ranked NC State upset by Wake Forest 27-23. College hoops, number 20 TCU beat Cal State Bakersfield. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
Thanks, Rob. And please join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business a Sports Show here from the man who once served as the chief marketing officer for the U.S. Olympic Committee. We speak with Rick Burton, professor of sports management at Syracuse University. That's tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or download our Apple podcast on iTunes. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. And European stocks are sliding following a retreat in Asia amid growing concerns about a slowdown in China and policymakers' steps to address it. The dollar advancing as the Federal Reserve stayed on track for a December rate hike. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 16 points. Dow futures down 138. NASDAQ futures down 56. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 3.20%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.94%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.6% or 99 cents to $59.69 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, down $5.30 to $12.19.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1346, and the yen, 113.83. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a fast-moving wildfire ravaged a northern California town. It sent residents of paradise racing to escape on roads that turned into tunnels of fire. Thousands of structures in the town were destroyed. E-cigarettes will face strict new limits imposed by the FDA. According to a senior FDA official, rules will call for restricting sales of many popular fruit flavors amid what the health agency has called an epidemic of youth use. Sales of popular e-cigarette fruit flavors will be limited to adults only in establishments such as vaping stores. In the NHL, the Islanders lost along with the Bruins. In the NBA, the Celtics won. The Warriors lost. Thursday night football, the Steelers all over the Panthers, 52-21. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And live from the Interactive Brokers Studios, I'm John Tucker, 620 on Wall Street. Walt Disney reporting quarterly sales and profit that topped estimates. And more importantly, the mouse has a vision for the future. Let's bring in Paul Sweeney, Bloomberg Intelligence, this morning. First, let's start with those results. What is Disney doing right?
Yeah, it was generally a very good quarter for the Walt Disney Company last night. They beat on revenue. They beat on earnings per share. You know, most of their businesses did, you know, very well, led by the film studio. They just keep turning out, hit after hit after hit. They've got the Star Wars. They've got the Marvel properties. And the theme parks business, which is really one of the core businesses of the Disney Company, just had another great quarter. People, you know, both domestically and internationally flocking to the theme parks. But, investors last night were happy, obviously, with those results, but they were focused on the future. Most notably this big acquisition of 21st Century Fox that the company's looking to close.
So that
year.
Begs the question, just how badly does Disney want to be Netflix?
Yeah, I think they would love to have the valuation that the Netflix stock has in the marketplace. But I think Disney recognizes that the future of their company is not so much a reliance on the traditional cable TV package to get their cable networks out there and their programming out to the marketplace, but more a direct-to-consumer relationship, much like Netflix has. So they've already launched ESPN Plus, which is their direct-to-consumer ESPN product in this year. And next year they're going to launch a Disney Plus product, which is going to have all the TV shows and movies that Disney owns and that Fox owns. And that is going to be their product that they believe will go head-to-head with Netflix on a global basis. And that is probably the most anticipated, development at the company in many, many years.
Yeah, the informal poll that we took in the newsroom this morning is that any parent with kids can't avoid this.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you think about some of the programming and the product and the characters that Disney has, whether it's, again, the traditional Disney characters that everybody's grown up with, or some of the newer stuff like the Pixar movies or the Marvel movies or the Star Wars stuff from Lucasfilms. It's just extraordinary. And then when you layer on top of that some of the programming from 21st Century Fox, whether it's X-Men or Avatar, you can really make the case that there's some compelling programming there that should really, I think, find some demand in the marketplace.
But as you know, content isn't cheap. What's the return on all these investments?
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult. I think the transition, investors are concerned about the transition by, taking some of that content off of the traditional distributors, whether it's the cable systems or even pulling stuff back from Netflix. You're going to lose a lot of revenue there as you pick up content off of those platforms, try to put it on your direct-to-consumer platform. There's going to be a transition, who knows how many years and what the ultimate cost is going to be. But I think most investors feel that, Disney probably has to do this, and they're in a good position with, again, ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and also they're going to have control of Hulu. So they're going to have three direct-to-consumer platforms that should, in the long term, position the company pretty well.
And I thought they only had part of Hulu. Are they going to get all of it?
With the acquisition of 21st Century Fox, they will end up with 60% of Hulu. So they'll certainly have control over it, not 100% control, but control. And presumably they'll be able to, really push that business the way they want to.
Now, for consumers, is it going to be Disney's products or Netflix or both?
I think it's going to be both. I think what we're seeing in the marketplace is that, particularly for the cord cutters or maybe the cord nevers, the folks that never sign up for big pay TV packages, they're kind of piecemealing some of their video content offerings, whether it's a Hulu or Netflix or, maybe just spending more time on YouTube. And there's HBO Go, there's CBS All Access. So a lot of the traditional media players, a lot of the traditional video players are making their content available direct to consumer on a one-to-one basis, again, much like the Netflix model. So I think what we're seeing is some consumers are kind of creating their own little packages, if you will, kind of a la carte. And the question is, where does Disney fit into that environment?
When will investors know if Disney Plus is a big hit? What quarter?
You know, they're going to launch it probably, you know, sometime in late 2019. So it's going to be, you know, 2 or 3 years from now before we really get a sense of, you know, how successful it'll be.
And, Paul, thanks a lot. Paul Sweeney, Bloomberg Intelligence. Let me check, get a quote for Disney in the pre-market. Shares right now, Walt Disney Company, up 2.5%. Again, Walt Disney reporting quarterly sales and profit that topped estimates, laying out its vision for the future. S&P futures right now, 14 points lower. The Dow futures down 128. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Daybreak being brought to you by Audi. Visit your tri-state Audi dealer during the Season of Audi sales event for exclusive offers on select models, or go to AudiOffers.com for more information.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We're being brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
And we are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world amid growing concerns about a slowdown in China. Stocks in Hong Kong led losses, with the Hang Seng dropping 2.4%. S&P futures are lower by 0.5%.
And oil is set for its longest stretch of declines on record after entering a bear market. As Bloomberg's Stuart Wallace reports, the slump comes ahead of a key meeting this weekend.
Some of the world's biggest oil suppliers meet in Abu Dhabi on Sunday, seeking to build consensus for a new production policy going into 2019. The so-called OPEC Plus group will have to consider cutting output again, potentially marking their second policy U-turn in what has been a very turbulent year for energy. In London, Stuart Wallace, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And NYMEX crude, below 60, $59.79 a barrel. That's a decline of 1.5%. Brent crude is at $69.78, below 70. That's down 1.2%.
The UK posted its fastest economic expansion in almost 2 years in the third quarter, but a sudden loss of momentum from August points to slower growth in the run-up to Brexit. Gross domestic product increased 0.6% from the second quarter.
The U.S. dollar extended gains after the Federal Reserve indicated it will keep raising rates gradually. Meanwhile, the U.S. government issues a producer price index for October, with economists forecasting a gain of 0.2%. Bloomberg's Vinnie DelGiudice reports.
We could see the impact of White House tariffs on Chinese imports in today's inflation report. Bloomberg Economics points to clear evidence in recent factory data. The prior report showed the PPI rose in September, the first increase since June. Also on today's economic calendar, the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index for November. Vinny DelGiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. Shares of Disney are up more than 2% in early trading, quarterly sales and profit from the company beating projections, and shares of Yelp plunging by 30%, with the company warning a surprise slowdown in sales will continue.
And 6:32 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg Volatility Index report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 16.72. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently up 3% at 17.23. And that's the volatility report.
And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. S&P futures are down about 17 points right now. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Fairleigh Dickinson University's Silverman College of Business, offering an executive MBA and a blended Saturday MBA that combines online and on-campus classes. Visit fdugrad.org/radio. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Florida Governor and Republican Senate candidate Rick Scott is suing two of his state's counties and asking for an investigation of the tens of thousands of votes that are trickling in days after the election, narrowing his lead into recount territory. Democrat incumbent Bill Nelson is now only 0.2% behind Scott. Scott says Broward and Palm Beach counties are behaving fraudulently.
I will not sit idly by while unethical liberals try to steal this election from the great people of Florida.
Scott is also calling for a state investigation. The margin in Florida's gubernatorial election is down to less than a half percentage point. Only 38,000 votes separate Republican Ron DeSantis and Democrat Andrew Gillum. Florida law could require a recount. Gillum posted a video to Facebook saying every vote needs to be counted.
This is extremely hard. But you know what? The fight for progress, the fight for change, the fight for what it is we want is hard. And that just means that you got to, again, stiffen your spine and square your shoulders to the task. I'm prepared to do that.
The White House has a short list of who it feels could be Attorney General. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It includes Labor Secretary Alex Acosta, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and U.S. Appeals Court Judge Edith Jones. Also Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi and former Attorney General William Barr. These are names being floated, of course, to replace Jeff Sessions. And looking at the list, Acting AG Matthew Whitaker does not seem to be on them, nor does Deputy AG Rod Rosenstein. Of course, any new attorney general will be faced with how to handle the Mueller investigation, as the president has fumed for months regarding Sessions' recusal from the matter. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
TransCanada's long-delayed Keystone XL pipeline project was blocked by a Montana federal judge pending further environmental review. Last night's ruling is the latest setback for the Calgary-based pipeline company. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's Rob Bushka.
Good morning, John. The Islanders ran into one of the top netminders, Andre Vasilevsky, who stopped 35 shots en route to Tampa Bay, doubling up New York 4-2 down south. Lightning sport the best record in hockey. Islanders coach Barry Trotz.
Second period, the first probably 12 minutes, it started the first shift. We refused to get the puck deep. They're a transition team. We fed their wolf, if you will, for the first 10 minutes, and then we got it back on track in the second part. And I thought our third period was really good. And then when you get it tied up there, especially the last 2 minutes, a little detail on that faceoff. We win the faceoff in your own end. You shouldn't end up in the back of your net. We got on the wrong side of a guy, and I felt that we should have at least 1 point tonight.
Isles still a top the Metro Division by a point. In the NBA, the Rockets' slow start continues. They're 4-6 after a loss in OKC. Boston, Portland, and Milwaukee all winners, including Milwaukee beating Golden State and Steph Curry checking out of the game with a leg strain. Still City, the site to kick off Week 10. All Steelers, 52-21 over Carolina. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger with a career night, 22 of 25, 5 touchdowns. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin.
Like the contributions from a lot of people, we came in tonight with a mentality that we had to play everyone in a helmet. That's just part of short week football, and I thought that everyone came with that spirit and got contributions from a lot of people. Just the distribution of the ball on offense.
Pittsburgh is 6-2-1 and has won 5 straight. College football, 14th-ranked NC State lost at home 27-23 to Wake Forest. And college basketball, top 25, 20th-ranked TCU had no trouble with Cal State Bakersfield. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, thanks, Rob. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
After an election campaign centered on health care, voters delivered their most empathic message not to Congress, but to the governments of red states. They want to expand Medicaid to cover a bigger share of the low-income population. For years, the people of Idaho, Utah, and Nebraska watched their legislatures refuse to widen Medicaid, forfeiting in the process billions in federal aid. On Tuesday, they passed ballot initiatives to end the nonsense. In 3 more states, Maine, Kansas, and Wisconsin, voters elected Democratic governors who promised to expand Medicaid as well. Thus, the 2018 election stands to provide hundreds of thousands more Americans access to health care. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. In Boston, remarks from a couple of high-profile executives are capturing the attention of investors. Here with details this morning, Bloomberg's Courtney Donahoe.
Yesterday, Bloomberg hosted special coverage of the Boston College Chief Executives Club luncheon, featuring Brian Moynihan, chairman and CEO of Bank of America. Here is his take on the consumer.
The U.S. consumer at Bank of America will spend $3 trillion during the course of a year in bill payments and checks and debit and credit cards. $3 trillion, which against a $20 trillion economy is not a bad sample size. Through the end of October, those consumers spent 9.5% more than they did last year through the end of October. The year before, that would have been 6%. The year before, that would have been 3%. So consumer spending continues to accelerate.
Bank of America shares little changed year to date. Meantime, a few miles away, Google Executive Chairman Eric Schmidt was interviewed at the MIT Digital Future of Work Congress in Cambridge.
The internet is a metaphor here for we're connected to everyone all the time. If you're connected to everyone all the time, you should be able to get instantaneous feedback all the time. A correctly engineered product of any kind is giving telemetry and so forth of its, about its use, and then strong engineering teams are watching and saying, oh, that was a bad idea, that was a good idea, let's do more of that.
Courtney Donahoe, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Courtney. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street right now, the futures pointing to a lower open with the S&P futures down 18 points. The Dow futures are down 157 points, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures right now 70 points lower. Now, as we look at crude oil, NYMEX is below 60 a barrel, bear market. NYMEX crude, 59.70 a barrel. That is down 1.6%. That's just this morning. Brent crude, this is the international benchmark, under 70 at 69.64 a barrel. That's a decline of 1.4%. The 10-year note in the U.S., the yield right now 3.2%, as the price is declining by is rising by 8/32. This is Daybreak. And we're brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking, mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 647 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are falling. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now. Dow futures down 150 points. S&P futures on the lows down 18. And Nasdaq futures declined by 66. The U.S. 10 yield at 3.21%, oil trading lower, and Shanghai fell 1.4% overnight. Well, European markets are also under pressure this morning, led by declines in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the producer price index, and at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Disney Q4 adjusted EPS beat the highest estimates. Shares are up 3% in the pre-market, and Activision is down 9%. On a weaker than expected forecast. In other news, General Electric's price target cut to a street low $6 a share from 10 over at JP Morgan. Shares are trading below 9 in the pre-market. And Berkshire Hathaway reported an 11.3% passive stake in recent IPO StoneCo. Wrapping things up, Skyworks was downgraded to neutral at Bank of America. Cree was upgraded to buy Goldman Sachs. Yelp was downgraded to neutral at JP Morgan. And C-Trip also downgraded to neutral over at Nomura. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr. Michael.
Thank you very much. Neighbors of Ian David Long have described the man who shot and killed 12 people at a country music bar in Thousand Oaks, California, as distant in public, but combative with his mother inside the home the two shared. One incident in April was so extreme that they called law enforcement. Authorities said the 28-year-old Marine veteran might have had post-traumatic stress disorder. Labor Secretary Alex Acosta and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie are said to be among those considered to replace Jeff Sessions as the nation's permanent attorney general. In the NHL, the Islanders lost along with the Bruins. In the NBA, the Celtics won. The Warriors lost. Thursday night football, the Steelers walloped the Panthers 52-21. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, a cash-strapped Chinese pork producer has come up with an innovative way to repay its creditors. Chuying Agro Pastoral Group, which failed to repay 500 million yuan or $72 million of local bonds due this week, said its debt holders agreed to take ham or pork gift packages instead of interest payments. John, kind of like the old bartering system back in the day.
No, it reminds me growing up by the ocean when my dad's patients, some of them couldn't pay. Right. He said, okay, you can't pay, but they would wind up giving us lobster and clams, and I guess that's bartering. Yeah. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. This
now
is
I'm getting hungry.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Yeah, I'm going for a lobster right now. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Studios, where it is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Thank you, Michael. Time now to check on what's going on in D.C. and some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump considering former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie for Attorney General. The White House moving to restrict asylum for migrants crossing the border illegally. And the President and First Lady heading to France, where President Trump will commemorate the end of World War I with other world leaders on Sunday. Let's get more on these and some of the other stories making news this morning with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning to you. Let's start with this short list of candidates to replace Jeff Sessions as Attorney General. Who are they? What do we know about them?
Well, it's interesting. Chris Christie is someone who is apparently on the short list, the former New Jersey governor. And he's someone that was an early supporter of Trump's, and I think a lot of folks were surprised not to see him get a post in the cabinet in the kind of the first round of appointments that came after the election. So, you know, given Jeff Sessions' ouster now, this could be his moment. He was considered the last time around. So that's someone that's worth watching, as well as Alex Acosta, who is the labor secretary, who's also worth watching. He's fairly new to that role as well, but could be. Trump has shown a propensity for liking to move someone that he's already appointed to one position into another. We saw them do that with John Kelly, who was the Homeland Security Secretary initially before he became his chief of staff. Moving directly into the White House. Seem like two top options and ones that would follow models that Trump has used in the past.
Who's got the inside track?
I mean, if I had to say, I would think sort of Chris Christie potentially, just because he has been, you know, mentioned in the past, and we know that he's already been vetted a bit. And, you know, I mean, or perhaps Acosta as well. He seems to get along with Trump. Trump likes people that he feels are known entities and part of his inner circle already.
Okay. Can they pass muster with the Senate, though?
Well, so here's the thing. When they get to the Senate, it's going to be a bit complicated because regardless of who they pick, even if they pick someone who had very, very widespread support, the issue that they're going to run into is they're going to want a lot of assurance. Senators of both parties, Republicans and Democrats, are going to want a lot of assurance that whoever is seated as the next Attorney General wouldn't shut down the Robert Mueller, the special counsel's election meddling probe. That's going to be a big question. And I think, frankly, it's going to be hard for anyone to really promise that or really find a way to guarantee that in a way that's going to make enough senators comfortable to vote for confirmation. So we may see the acting Attorney General, Whitaker, who's been named this week, actually being in that role for quite a while.
There was a tweet from Republican Senator Susan Collins. She's one of those that would vote. What is she saying?
So she, you know, has said straight along that she would want to basically see Robert Mueller be able to. She's one of those Republicans that wants a lot of guarantee that Robert Mueller is going to be able to finish the investigation and be completely unfettered, i.e. that he's not going to have someone who's a Trump supporter or Trump backer essentially meddling in his meddling investigation, that he's going to have a free hand to be able to complete his work and present a report to the Congress without any kind of political intervention. And so I think that she's a very key vote in the Senate, and she's making that position very clear now.
Okay. Meddling in the meddling investigation. Another story from Bloomberg, coming wave of investigations. Tell us about this, and is the White House prepared for it?
So Democrats have said all along they've been really chomping at the bit to sort of unleash the oversight power of the legislative branch. And now that they won control of the House in Tuesday's midterms, they're positioned to do that on a range of issues. Everything from, you know, Trump's taxes to his family's business dealings to, you know, policy issues within the EPA and elsewhere. And I think when it comes to issues that would specifically affect the White House or Trump himself, Trump's at a bit of a disadvantage because his top counsel, Don McGahn, has departed and the new replacement has not started yet. And so there's a sense that he's caught a little bit out at this moment in terms of being able to prepare for this coming wave of investigations.
What's the first move by the Dems?
So I think, you know, Pelosi's talked a bit about getting Trump's taxes out into the public sphere. And, you know, so there's certainly an eagerness to do that. She's certainly under a lot of pressure from her base to do that. She's in position to become the speaker in January. So we could see that come straight out of the gate. But I think it's a bit of a mixed bag in terms of whether or not that's actually going to go over well with voters, or whether it could end up backfiring on Democrats.
Kathleen, thanks a lot. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And you could read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Also, a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panero, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Leading Democrats say they're not eager to impeach President Trump, but they may come under strong pressure to do it. Around three-quarters of Americans who voted for House Democrats in the midterms favor impeachment, and their frustration may grow over the next year. It will become clear that winning the House has not given Democrats the power to keep Trump from committing what they see as daily outrages. Trump's policies will continue, and his judges will keep getting confirmed. Liberals may then ask, why aren't House Democrats doing everything they can to oppose Trump? Impeachment is something they can do. If Special Counsel Robert Mueller issues a report that's anything other than a complete exoneration of Trump, the drumbeat will grow louder. Democratic presidential candidates looking to appeal to anti-Trump voters will join it. So don't be surprised if Nancy Pelosi finds it harder and harder to fend off impeachment. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time.
It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Congress used to have a special committee that used to concern itself with climate change issues, but not since Republicans disbanded the panel when they took control of the House in January 2011. Since then, no more serious discussions on threats to the planet.
Our committee has examined some of the serious consequences of global warming and our oil dependence. We've heard how these two challenges threaten our national security, our economy.
Now back in control, House Democrats are planning to resurrect the committee, giving them a platform to spotlight an issue on which polls show President Donald Trump is out of step with the public. Senior aides say Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi of California will ask her colleagues to reconstitute the select committee, which was created under her watch 11 years ago. In its previous iteration, the Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming was not authorized to advance its own bills, but it still used dozens of hearings to emphasize climate priorities, evaluating advancements in renewable power and the consequences of global warming. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. And we are watching a stock sell-off this morning. Futures lower, S&P futures down 17 points, Dow futures down 138, NASDAQ futures down 64, the DAX in Germany is down 0.7%, CAC in Paris down 1.1%, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.9%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan again fell 1.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropped 2.4%. 10-year Treasury this morning is up 8/32, the yield 3.20%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.94%. And straight ahead, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.